Did I say John or First John? It's John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me read this. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And my topic is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the soul of a sinner. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we come to the throne of grace asking for mercy and grace that you would give us those words that need to be said. Give us ears to hear those words that you would have us to hear. Lord, that takes your grace, your blessing, and we ask for both this morning. Worship with us, we beg. For it's in your name and for your sake, we ask. Amen. When you talk about the revelation, and I'll use the word revelation, but in Scripture you could use the term declare, publish, reveal, manifest, make known, to show. All these words concern something concerning Christ, and he's revealing or showing or publishing or demonstrating or illustrating himself in all Scripture. Now, having said that, I want to say four things about all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What that means to me is the hand is the Holy Spirit and man is the pencil. And that pencil does exactly what that hand guides him to do. And every Scripture, from beginning to end, is at the hand of the Holy Spirit with man as the writing instrument, the pen or the pencil. All Scripture is the Word of God. Very simple statement. Every Scripture comes from God himself. Christ is called the Word. So all Scripture must be something concerning Christ. And all Scripture has a double testimony. Every Scripture has two testimonies. And let me explain it this way. All Scriptures declare that I want you to know Christ does something, God does something, that they may know I am God and there's no other. That's what I call the testimony of the God or a God. The other testimony in all Scripture is that my people may know that I am their God. And if you go back and look at the Scripture that way, particularly, well, in the Old and New Testament, you see all the wonderful things that God does for his people and all those things he does to prohibit and limit their enemies. Take, for example, Egypt. The plagues. What was the purpose? That Pharaoh and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord God. Did they know it? Absolutely. Even Pharaoh said, "Your God." But all Scripture is also to his people. The one saying, here's what you are without Christ. All you have is a God, or the God even. But to his people, he says, now let me reveal or declare myself to you so that you may know that I am your God. And you can say, he is my God. And I think all Scripture bears those two testimonies. One telling us what we are without Christ and a natural self. The other saying, look what he hath done for my soul. The God versus my God. And this revelation is declared through all scripture. Let me read just two or three scriptures concerning the A God, the God, that's revealed in all scripture. Romans 1:19, that which is known of God is manifest in them, meaning all men who hold the truth in ungodliness and righteousness, for God has shown it to them. And what are they saying? Everything that can be known about God is there. Everything. And it goes on to say, for the invisible things of God, of him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Now, what does that scripture say? Every human being on the face of this earth can look at the creation and say, there is a God. And every religion does that. And it's the God. And then he goes on to say, David says in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. David says in another place, the heavens declare his righteousness. So here is all the handiwork and work of God declaring, I am God. And it's there, the scripture says, clearly seen. Yep. The scripture says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh. There's none that knoweth God. With all these testimonies of what God is the God, and there's none else. And he proves it over and over in the scripture. And that's when I come to this verse in John 1:18. How does God reveal himself to his people? How does God reveal himself to the souls of men? No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, Christ, who is in his bosom of the Father, he hath revealed him. Matthew 11:27. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither any man the Father except the Son, and to whomsoever the Son reveal him. So here it is. No man can look at creation and say, this is my God. They can look at creation and all the marvelous works and miracles and say something about a God or the God, but not one of them can say, this is my God, except the Son of God reveal himself to their soul. And that's what he's saying. Nobody knows him except those whomsoever the Son will reveal him. What is the revelation of God to our souls? It is an act of the Son of God. It's something that he does. He says, here I am. This is who I am. And when he says it to the soul responds. How does this play out in the Old Testament? Or in the New Testament too? How did God reveal himself in the Old Testament? Adam. He walked and talked with Adam directly. Moses. Well, let's start with Noah. Spiritually. Thus saith the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And if you want to look at election, take the millions of people on the face of this earth and God chose one. And he did it sovereignly. But here is Noah. He went directly to Noah and said, Noah, build me an ark. Build me a form of salvation for mine elect. Thus saith the Lord. Moses, talk to him. Thus saith the Lord, go tell my people what I've told you. The point I'm making is the revelation of God to Moses was direct in a spiritual sense. Ezekiel, he says, son of man, stand, and I will speak unto you. Then you go prophesy what I spoke. Direct revelation of God to man. Now notice, the revelation is to his prophets. And then the prophet goes and speaks to his people. Jeremiah, write thee all the words I have spoken unto you. God speaks to Jeremiah, says, write them down. Publish them. And Habakkuk, write. And he says, when you write, write them plain and clear so there's no mistake. New Testament, all the disciples, every one of them, with the exception of Paul, worked and walked and talked with Christ on a daily basis. All right, now what I'm talking about is here again is the direct revelation of God to his people. Now, Paul was a special case. Paul says, I was caught up in the third heaven. It was a paradise, and I heard unspeakable words which are not lawful to utter. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Please, God, by his grace, he called me to reveal his son in me. Again, a direct revelation from God Almighty. We don't have that anymore. All revelation of God and his word is complete and done and finished. There is no more direct revelation. And the reason I'm saying is, if God now reveals himself, it's not something he does directly. So the question comes up. What or how is he revealed to our souls now? In the past, it was directly to his prophets. And what did they do? They prophesied and they preached. So everyone other than prophets had to have some revelation from God, and it came from that preaching. So how do we obtain revelation from God Almighty? By preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now look what he said. The wisest man looking at the most wonderful work on the face of this earth and see and say, this is the work of God, praise be to God. He's talking about the God, not the Lord Jesus Christ, not my God. He says, I take the simplest, most foolish thing there is. And he said, that's how I reveal myself. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is the work of God. It's life itself. It's a revelation. How? By the foolishness of preaching. Now, preaching doesn't save, but it is method, like the pen in the hand of the Holy Spirit inscribing the words. The Spirit of God. What do they preach? Oh, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Paul says, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and crucified. Nothing else but the finished, complete work of Christ. I know nothing else. He said, I don't preach anything else. Why? Because it leads to revelation of who man is and who God is. He goes on to say in Galatians, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Preach anything but Christ and crucified. I don't care who you are or where you are. If you don't, Paul says you are accursed. 1 Corinthians 1:10. The preaching of the cross. And I'm going to say the preaching of the gospel of Christ and Him crucified is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is God revealing Himself to the soul with all the power of God. And it's based on the words that were preached. And what are the words? Christ and Him crucified. That is preached. Who preaches? Romans 10:15. And we have all heard these scriptures. I'm not doing anything new or different. And we need to have these things repeated over and over again. And if you're like me, hard-headed and stubborn, and I still like Rupert's term, dumb as a box of rocks, it takes it for us to understand, become clear to it. How shall they preach except they be sent? Paul is pleased God by His grace to be called to reveal His Son in him, in his preaching, what he was doing. Paul was called. You cannot preach except God's grace does something first. And it's been called. After all this preaching, the Apostle Paul and all the scriptures, who believes it? Who believes it? And the question is asked this way. Romans 10:4. How shall they, meaning anybody, call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Here is a presentation of grace, added grace. In order to hear, to believe, God has to give us ears to hear. In order to believe, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the work of God Almighty. And how can they do it without a preacher? And Paul just said, well, I'm so pleased that he called me to preach Christ and him crucified, and that's it. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That is who preaches. Now, who hath believed our report? The simplest answer to that question is, I, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, know my sheep. I call them by name. They follow me. So here is a simple statement of the Lord Jesus Christ's testimony, saying, I am your God. You're my sheep. I call you by name. I testify, you testify of me. I testify of you. And when I call, you come, you follow me. You follow in the way of Christ. You follow in submission of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow in all the truth in the form of Christ, who is the truth. A sheep. And all that sheep is a statement, this is my people. This sheep represents the soul of my people. And that soul responds, that soul comes, I know him, and he knows me. Now, having said that, it takes a preacher, it takes a gospel, it takes a message, and it takes somebody to hear. How is the gospel of the grace of God applied to your soul? How does it get there? Let me start this way. This gospel is the free, sovereign grace of God in Christ. Free. He says, come and buy without a price. Buy all you need. Why? It's already been bought and paid for. It's free. You can't buy it. Come with the empty hand of faith with nothing in it except Christ and Him crucified. It's already finished, done, complete. It's free. It's already bought and paid for in the shed blood of Christ. His obedience, His merit, all that He is. Free. Sovereign. Most people think of sovereign as not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. But I'm going to say this. Thank God for sovereignty. If God were not sovereign and did as He pleased, there would be no salvation. None. Why? If we are dead and trespassing sin, and somebody external to us does not do something, we remain dead. Without sovereignty, not a single person would ever have eternal life. Because we are dead and cannot do anything. And if God is not sovereign and come do something for somebody, there will be no salvation whatsoever. He is sovereign. He does as He pleases. The mystery is, why does He choose who He does? And I'll make it more personal. Why me? So here is His sovereignty. And the grace of God in Christ. Now I'm talking about the free, sovereign grace of God in Christ is the gospel of Christ, Him crucified. What is grace? Doug, Ed, anybody wants to know what grace is. Let me tell you what I think grace is. Grace is the application or the exercise of God Almighty expressing and exercising His loving kindness for sinners who have no merit, no standing, no worth. Here is an expression, an application of the love of God for a dead sinner, based totally on the merit of Christ, because we have no merit. And what does He do? God Himself is the source of that. God Himself has made Christ our grace in His absolute, full obedience to all the mandates and dictates and decrees of God Almighty, and God Almighty is satisfied. And this grace He gives, it's free, it's sovereign, and it's the love of God applied to somebody. And we can describe that love as His tender love and care. There's so many expressions of that, but grace is to me, fundamentally, it is a application, a giving, an exercise of the love of God for His people. That part of the gospel, that part of the scriptures that says, you are my people, I am your God, this is what I do for you. The free, sovereign grace of God Almighty. How does He apply this grace? Oh, one of the first graces to a dead sinner is called quickening. You who were dead in trespass and sin, I have quickened. Not just that, I've quickened you how? Together with Christ. What does that mean? He has given us life. He has taken his breath, his spirit, and breathed in our souls and said, live. And guess what? When he says live, we live. Quickened together with Christ, like grace. It's inseparable from Christ himself. And what happens when you quicken and become alive? New ears, new mind, new heart, a spirit, an eternal spirit. All these things. When somebody asks questions, how can you hear if you don't have any ears? God says, oh, I give you ears to hear. I give you eyes to see. You can look at my creation and see Christ. You can look at my gospel and see Christ. And the thing that's really important about it is, in his light, all we see is Christ himself. Ears to hear what? The preaching of the gospel. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except they have a preacher? This multiple grace added to grace that God gives to reveal his son to us is perfectly suitable for poor dead sinners. Eyes to see. What do we see? When he quickens, we're alive. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see the brightness of the light. Darkness is cast away. With our feet and our hands, we walk in the way. We walk in Christ. Doug, I like to think, no, we're not walking. He's carrying us. But it's in Christ is the important part. We have the mind of Christ. The thoughts of the poor sinner that Christ has revealed himself to, the thoughts say one thing. Oh my goodness, he is everything that I can think about. He's everything that I need. He is my all. Heart. This quickened heart. It's a new heart. Take a stone of heart, change to a heart of flesh, taught of God. And what do they learn? The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's a revelation. I have shown that sinner the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. He sees, he hears, he understands, he knows, he responds. He testifies to Christ himself. A mouth. What do we do with our spiritual mouth? Rupert calls these songs aspirations. I wish that I had 1,000 tongues to sing his praises. But I don't. Another song is having eternal days to sing his praises. Oh, at some point in time, that will be true. But there's not enough, even eternal days, to sing the praises of God Almighty. What do we sing? Christ is all to my soul. Praise, honor, and glory to his work for what? For my soul. Thank God for his grace. He gives me the eyes to see what he's plainly revealing to my soul. Thank God that's of grace, because I cannot, would not, and could not come to my own. Paul probably says it about best. What do we see when we see Christ? We have the excellency I'm going to call it the grace of the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's what he reveals to our soul by preaching of the word, that he gives the words to say, he gives the words to hear. Then he opens the ears, he opens the eyes. It's just grace after grace after grace. And it ends up singing praises to his name. Now I'm going to end it, and I'm going to cheat a little bit, Rupert. And I hope every believer, listen, it's a song. It's got 9 verses. It's pretty long. And Rupert, I'm cheating because it came out of the September 14th, 2014 bulletin. It's a song by John Newton. "'Tis a point I long to know. Often it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not?" You ever asked yourself that question? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. Say, I'm worse than the worst sinner and knows nothing about God. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer a task and burden proof? Every trifle gives me pain if I knew a Savior's love. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? You mean I'm a child of God? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Yet I mourn my stubborn will, find my sin a grief and thrall. Should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? Would I have any of those feelings if I didn't love him at all? And he goes on. Could I joy his saints to meet, choose the ways I once abhorred, find at times the promise sweet if I did not love the Lord? Could I enjoy the fellowship of saints if I didn't love them a little bit? Lord, decide this doubtful case. Thou who art thy people's son, shine upon thy work of grace, if indeed begun. Then he ends it with this. Let me love thee more and more. If I love at all, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today. Here is a picture of a man that God has revealed the soul of his son to this person, and he's given God the credit. If I love it all. But then he makes this statement. Lord, you make the call. If I don't, help me to begin today.